This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Will this be the last show I get to say that? I don't know. We're going to talk all about it.
No, I mean, technically you can keep saying it until after whoever, you know, if it's not the Caps, someone else is crowned.
Well, they're not defending. They're not, they might be reigning, but they're not defending because they'd be kicked out after game seven if they lost.
That is true. Yeah. So you have to be the, you have to say the 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have the same ring to it as what I like to say.
Which, no, not so much.
But thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Game 7. That's where we're at. The opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game 7. I was the guy who put in my bracket that this would be the only sweep of the opening round. I also have gotten every single matchup incorrect in my bracket so far.
That takes real skill.
It really does. I can't believe I had Nashville gone. I had Calgary gone. I had Tampa Bay gone. I had Pittsburgh gone. Let's see what's left. So who is it? It's Toronto and Boston. I picked Boston, so Toronto will be winning tonight. And who's out west? Vegas and Sharks. So Vegas is definitely moving on. Man,
I don't remember who I picked. I think I was. We can go into it later. We go around the NHL.
What a crazy series it has been so far. The Capitals against the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, Coach Dan, what? Did you think this would go to game seven? I mean, I could have easily just gone back and listened to one of our old shows, but I'm lazy. Did you believe like that this was ever going to go this far? I am in absolute shock that this has gone past four games and then five and then six. Game seven? Really? How did this happen?
I can tell you it happened. It happened when they went down to Carolina and decided to play like garbage. That's pretty much when it happened. They decided that playing in Carolina meant that they could play like terrible. And they've, if you look at it, it's been weird because every home team has won their games in this series, which is pretty freaking weird. But then it's weird because when the Caps go on the road, they have this complete lack of intensity and physicality to their game. And they play very poorly, but very defensive-minded when they go on the road. And they remind me, this is a weird representation or thing because you're not really going to understand what I'm talking about because I'm talking about European football, but they remind me very much of Arsenal in the sense that when they go on the road, it's like they can't handle the pressure of playing in someone else's building or on their someone else's stadium and on their grounds. And they just get so like confused or they just get so like uncomfortable having to play somewhere else. And then they end up just playing like complete, like not like themselves. I mean, you go and you look at game five and the complete domination that the Capitals played that game with. I mean, it was 60 minutes of dominating Carolina, both physically on the score sheet. They just destroyed them in that game. And then you go and you look at this last game and there's no physics. There's not enough physicality. You got one or two guys hitting people. That's pretty much it. And it's not like losing Oshie was the big reason that they suddenly had all this physicality in the last game and it couldn't be there this game. They just played like crap.
How much of that do you give to the crowd? Do you give the crowd a lot of the credit here? Because
I mean,
as much as I got to give that Riley,
Raleigh, North Carolina.
I don't know if it's my Baltimore accent or whatever, but Raleigh, North Carolina, got to give their fans credit. Because
no, I'm not taking anything away from the fans. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying their fans did nothing. They don't matter. No, it's a matter of like these guys are professionals. And yes, to some extent, they're not being nice to me, but not to that extent. But there is a little bit of you know, you recognize the crowd. And when it's a home team, yes, I think it helps Carolina more than it hurts Washington, if that makes sense. But I don't think it hurts the Caps enough in the sense that they should be playing this much like crap.
Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that?
The crowd should not cause them to play poorly.
But I mean, you just say
argument made.
So just because you
it know, shouldn't, what are they doing? Saying mean words about them and hurting their feelings? Like, it shouldn't, they're not a bunch of first graders. It should not be a situation where they're like, they're not being nice to me. I'm taking my puck and going home. No, man up. You should be used to this. Are you kidding me? You have baseball players who everybody likes to make fun of because if they have like a, you know, their fingernail isn't proper, then they can't go play that day or something silly like that. If you're, and I hate using this as an example because he left, but if you're Bryce Harper and you're going up to bat anywhere outside of Philly, you're getting yelled at and jeered and people are saying not very nice words to you. Yet he's still hitting home runs. That's not the problem. It should not be a situation where this team goes into another team's building and is like, we can't handle this pressure. That guy called me a mean word. Like, no, man up. You're playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You are the defending champions. Every single one, almost every single one of you on that roster was there last year. And every single one of you, I think, but Siegenthaler and Jensen and Copley have a ring because you've won the cup, be it here or somewhere else if you're Carl Hagelin. So there's, oh, and doubt. I had in my head that he won somewhere else. I don't know why. Anyways, so no, there's no reason that a crowd should affect you enough that you be playing scared. You play your game. You take the crowd out of it by playing your game, by playing strong. If the Caps go and go up by two or three in Carolina, or they score two goals relatively early, it takes the crowd completely out of the game. But they didn't do that. They let Carolina stick around. They let them hang in the game. They played poorly. They played timid. And that's why this is going to game seven. You're telling me out of three games in Carolina, they couldn't freaking win one of them? Not one? That's unacceptable.
The offense, I mean, the entire team, the Capitals team, this series has not been playing well. I mean, there's no side of this puck that, except for maybe Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby has been doing well.
Holtby's been fine, and game five, everyone looked good. Outside of that, there's a ton of questions.
What is going on with the offense? I mean, we figured out it was key last year. You got to roll four lines deep. You got to have a lot of talent on each line. But right now, it looks like Backstrom and Ovechkin are the only guys that are really performing out there offensively. You have so many players on this team in the regular season. Jacob Varana, Tom Wilson, Brett Connolly, just to name three of them, that have plus 20 goals in the regular season. Now we come into the postseason, and these guys seem to be allergic to the goaltending and the back of that net. What is going on with the offense? Why can't they get any goals? This Carolina goaltender, I mean, I don't mean to sound
rude. He's good, but he ain't good enough to be able to shut this team out in the way he is.
He is not a Hall of Famer.
He's played well. No.
He's not Fleury. He's not Lundqvist. He's not a Hall of Fame goaltender. This seems like a guy he's got a hot hand right now, but the Capitals, with as much firing power on this offense, should be getting that puck into the back of the net.
Yes, they very much should. If you go and you look at the offensive statistics for the team right now, you take Oshie out of it because he's done for the postseason after having surgery on his clavicle, so he's done. Where's Kuznetsov? Yes, he has 5 points in six games, which if you look on paper, you're like, all right, he's got five assists. None of them are goals, though. And he makes He is consistently making questionable decisions with the puck or even without the puck when he's on the ice. And his faceoff percentage has been an issue all season. It's currently at 38.8. So if you need a goal in a game and you're putting him out there because you want him to do something offensively, you know, you can't trust that he's going to be able to win that faceoff because he's not. The odds of him winning it are just over 33%. You know, it's one in three chance that he has of winning that faceoff. And that's not good because if you're down late in the game, you know that Carolina is going to be putting out whoever top defensive center to win that faceoff. So Kuznetsov has completely disappeared. And then you go and you look at the rest of the team. Connolly has 2 points in six games, and both of those points came in his last two games. and one of them being the whooping in game five. So there's questions about him. Where's he been? Burakovsky has 1 point in six games. And then Hagelin, Vrana.
Let me talk about Burakovsky there for a second, because this team knew Burakovsky was streaky in the regular season, and they chose to hang on to him. All of the beginning of the season, we were saying Burakovsky's going to get traded. He's trade bait. Put him out there. Let other teams see what he can do. Try to get something back. And then he starts to get a little hot before the trade deadline, and they keep him. And oh my goodness, where are we at? He's not doing anything again. That's on the Caps coaching staff, that call right there.
Well, coaching staff in the front office in terms of hanging on to him. And maybe, sure. It's, you know, but he's not the only problem. Hagelin's got no points, though he's done well defensively. Vrana's got no points. He's on the second line. He needs to step it up considerably. Stevenson's got no points. Smith-Pelly's got no points. He's only been in two games, and Boyd has no points, but he's only been in one game. So those two guys kind of get an exception to that particular situation. But the fact that they're not getting points and production from the rest of the lineup is a very big problem.
That's a huge problem. This is the playoffs. You lose and you go home, and the Caps are at their backs are against the wall at this point. So if we're going to have another repeat from 2 years ago where you had nothing to fight for in game seven against the Penguins, I mean, I don't want to see that when I tune in tomorrow. That's a disgrace to be doing that again. You drank from the cup. You know what victory tastes like, and you're just going to give up and give that away. Let me tell you something. I'm fired up here. Game six.
Clearly.
Game six. That stupid no goal. I mean.
That was pretty bad.
When you sit down and they explain it. All right, they probably made the right call. However, at the time, I don't think it was the right call. A day later, yes, it looks like it was the right call. But I cannot stand how this team responded to the no-go goal call. That is complete and utter trash. The fact that they went, all right, that's it. We're going home, and they didn't finish that game. I mean, you could have put the mites on ice out of there and gotten better production after that no-go call. No, I can't say those words together. No goal.
Because he's so mad, folks. He can't even say it. He's that upset.
You left Holtby out to dry. I mean, they got a goal immediately. Everything stopped at that point. I should have turned off the game as a fan because they gave up. I should have given up, and I should have gone to bed or switched off and watched something else on TV, because that the way they responded, it is one thing to get calls not going your way, and I agree it should have gone their way. However, how you respond and you respond like that, you ain't a champ. You're not. You won't be a champ if you're going to respond that way.
No, it was bad. I mean, the no-goal call I still think was BS, but that's besides the point. It was a poor effort all around from those guys. You know, they're not on the road. They're not playing physical. They're not making life difficult for Mrazek. He's getting easy visions, you know, on shots. So it's easy to stop it when you see it. If you can't stop necessarily what you can't see. They're not. I mean, I don't know. They're playing weak. They're playing soft on the road, and I don't understand what it is. And I don't think it's necessarily the coaching staff in terms of they're like, you know, we're going to play this very defensive. We'll just have to win. You know, if the plan is for every series to go seven, they just win every game at home. I guess that's an idea. I don't know if I necessarily am in favor of it, but that's certainly one way to go.
Let's talk about the loss of TJ Oshie here. So a couple games ago, he gets a hit in behind cross check in the numbers, blatant penalty, should have been a blatant suspension. That didn't happen, but the team loses TJ Oshie for the rest of the season. It's a broken collarbone. He's already had surgery. Coach Dan, what does it mean to lose him for this team? I mean, we're talking about how bad the offense has been this entire series, but losing Oshie, that is a huge blow if they get past Carolina.
It's not great. You know, the guy's playing pretty well. It's not good when you lose one of your top six forwards. So it's all kinds of bad. It's kind of the reality of the playoffs. Like, sometimes players get hurt. Like, this is just what happens. You know, I don't know. I have to be honest. I don't know if I agree with you in terms of it should have been a suspension. I felt like if Oshie was actually closer to the boards when he got hit, it wouldn't have been quite as bad. I think it's the way he goes into the boards that causes the injury more so than the hit per se. But irregardless, the reality is he's out. And when he's, you know, someone like that goes out, you need other players to step up, and you're not getting other players to step up right now. Like I said before, Vrana, second line, this is an opportunity for him to step up, and he needs to, because someone's got to take on the production that Oshie would be giving you, and no one's doing that right now. Vrana's got 0 points. Hagelin's got 0 points. And if I remember correctly, Vrana and Hagelin are now on the second line. Neither one of them has a single point in six games. Okay, that's, I'm showing you, that's this many. There's a big old zero for both of them. That's a problem. So, you know, if they're going to get out of this round, and if they're going to, you know, get past the Islanders, if they get out of this round, if they want to get past the Islanders, you're going to have to get more than just production from your top line and a couple of defensemen.
I don't even want to talk about the Islanders this show, because everything should be focused on this next game, just getting out. It's a one game series is what the way that they should be looking at it. And, it's insane. It's come to this. It really is. But with TJ,
I think Carolina is going to go for broke.
Carolina,
they got nothing to lose. No, they've got nothing to lose. They think that, you know, no one thought they were going to get there. I'm sure they did, but no one else thought they were going to get there. They got nothing to lose at this point.
That's true. They do have nothing to lose, and they're playing that way. And some of the stuff they're doing has been a little dirty. But they're playing hard, and the Caps aren't responding to it. So, I mean, if it works, don't try to fix it. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of way with Carolina and the way they're playing. But it's insane that they're doing so well. I mean, this is a Caps team that swept them in the regular season. I mean, who would have thought this would have come to a game seven? But here we are. So with TJ Oshie out, that brings up Devontae Smith-Pelly, which you and I were talking on Twitter after the Oshie injury happened, and you said, no, they're not bringing anybody up. They have Yastin.
That's because that's what they said.
They have Yastin. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to bring up any Bears. I said, of course, this would be the return of DSP. And then I said, maybe Walker, could be Liam O'Brien, something like that. But I really thought DSP would come up. And he's up, and he's playing. So, I mean, yes, they said they weren't going to call anybody up, but are you surprised they went with DSP and not Yastin?
I was a little bit, considering they said that's what they were going to do, but they brought up Smith-Pelly, and yeah, maybe it fired up the guys a little bit, but it's, you know, if that's what he was up here for, I'd rather, and it's not against Smith-Pelly. Like, I think he's a good player, given his production in the regular season was poor, but if he's going to come up, he also needs to produce. Now, given it's only been two games, but right now they're just getting a lot of energy from him, which is great. But at some point, you need to start producing. Otherwise, you're not really giving enough. With a guy like I said before, with a guy like Oshie out, someone has to step up, or someone's have to step up to make up for that loss of production. So if that means Vrana has to score all the goals, more or less, than Oshie would score, fine. Or if that means Vrana and Hagelin are going to share that responsibility, and one of them, you know, is scoring one night and the other one scoring the next night, like, that's fine too. I don't care, but someone needs to be putting the puck in the net. It's a nice story, but it doesn't do you any good if you can't get out of the first round.
Yep. I still can't believe we're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm shocked that we have one game left against them. So, Coach, what do the Capitals have to do now in this series of one game to make sure that the Caps can move on? Obviously, offense is an issue.
Pray. No, I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to step up, man up, play like game five, hit everybody you can, intimidate them. You look at, there was a play, I can't remember what period it was in, where... Oh my God, I can't think of anything. What's the guy's name? Dougie Hamilton. I think it was him. He was going to get the puck out of the corner. Something just fell in here, and I don't know what it was because nothing actually moved. That's creepy. I think it was Hamilton was getting the puck out of the corner, and he saw Ovechkin coming, and he kind of like backed off of it a little bit enough to get Ovechkin to get the puck, and then the Caps ended up scoring on that play. You need to intimidate him. Don't let them have easy chances to get the puck. Don't let them, beat you up, and, just play like adults is kind of the nicest way to put it. Play like game five. Out hustle them, out man them, out body them, and make life difficult for the goalie.
can the Capitals play as rough as Carolina with all of the ref calls that have gone on in this series? Because it seems as if there are a whole lot of calls that are going against the Capitals, penalties that aren't being called on Carolina. I am not saying that the refs are the reason the Caps are tied right now in this series, but also doesn't help really when the captain of the team is being ejected because he's taunting one.
Well, he kind of had it coming.
A little bit.
Like when you don't try and show up the ref. I get that he's frustrated with the referee and the way things are going, but showing off the ref isn't going to do you any good. And if anything, it's just going to make life more difficult for you going into the next game. So I don't see how that was necessarily beneficial, but hopefully that guy's not reffing that game because he was terrible. But you know what? There have been bad calls going both ways, and it is what it is. And you have to be able to overcome that. And if the Caps played a little bit stronger, and I'm not even talking like hitting everybody illegally, just finish your checks. Make life difficult for Mrazek. And that doesn't even mean hit him. Just block his freaking vision. Make it harder for him to see the puck. Like I said, you can't stop what you can't see. I mean, if they let the shoot right at you, then obviously you'd stop it. But normally, you can't stop what you can't see. So if you just make life difficult for the guy by making him have to move side to side and get him out of position, out of his comfort area, and then maybe get a couple goals off that way.
All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Let's give some credit and some congratulations to Nick Dowd. He made history in Game 5, becoming the first Capitals player to ever score a penalty shot in the playoffs. They were actually talking about it in the pregame on for Game 6. I think it was, there was like four or five other times that someone had the chance to do that, and Dowd was able the first. So he goes down in Caps history as the first person to ever score a penalty shot in the playoffs. But yeah, that's pretty much it. We got Game 7, Wednesday night. Have they said what time that game is?
I'll tell you at the end of the show. Keep trying to steal my bit.
Oh. So sorry.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Come on, Caps. Beat the Hurricanes, please. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Pretty pleased.
And we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey started their playoff run with two games in Bridgeport, losing the first, but they rebounded to win game two. So they've got that all tied up going into tonight's game, that being Tuesday at the Giants Center. Game 4 is on Thursday in Hershey with Game 5 on Saturday in Bridgeport. Remember, it's a best of 5, so if they win both in Hershey, they're on to the next round. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays unfortunately fell to Orlando in 5 games, and their season is done. After winning Game 1, they lost 4 straight. That's what's going on down on the farm.
They lost to the Solar Bears.
The Solar Bears of Orlando.
Man, how do you lose to a team from Florida?
Well, the Caps are about to lose to one from Carolina, apparently.
Shut up. All right.
Well, as Columbus has shown us, apparently you don't lose to teams from Florida, but we'll go over that in a minute.
Yeah. Wow. I still can't believe that. All right, well, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's lots of stuff, lots of teams, lots of news. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, there's no real news or suspensions to talk about. So everyone behaved themselves over the last week, or just didn't get called for it. But let's check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We are going to start over in the West. Dallas surprised me by sending Nashville home, winning their series 4-2. St. Louis is moving on after beating Winnipeg in 6. I think I had St. Louis winning, and I think I had Nashville winning. So far, I think I'm 1-1. And then in a big shock, Colorado knocked out Calgary, winning their series in 5. Philip Grubauer, what's up? I think I got that one wrong, too. So currently, I'm 1-2. Who did you say, Dallas or Nashville?
I said Nashville. I thought they were going to the Western Conference Finals against San Jose.
Okay, who'd you say, St. Louis or Winnipeg?
I had Winnipeg. I had Winnipeg against Nashville, Nashville beating Winnipeg. I'm all kinds of wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm 1-2 at the moment. And like you said before, San Jose, or we were talking before this, I think it was San Jose and Vegas are going 7. And I think they're playing tonight? Over in the East, the Islanders swept the Penguins. They're done. They're out. Columbus then shocked freaking everyone by sweeping Tampa Bay. And then Boston and Toronto are going 7. They're playing at some point. I don't remember when that one is. But these playoffs are not only crazy, but it is the first time ever that both top-seeded teams in Tampa and Calgary have been eliminated in the first round, which is insane.
It is also history that Tampa Bay is the first team to win the President's Trophy and then not win any games whatsoever in the Stanley Cup playoffs. In the history of the league. That's hard
of
to do
the
now.
World.
That's hard to do nowadays, is to do a first ever of a league this old.
That's true.
I'm sure Tampa is not really happy about that, but hey, you made history some way. There was actually, if you check out Bring Hockey Back, I don't know if they're .net or .com, I don't remember, but they have a shirt that says, my team won 62 games in the regular season and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Nice.
I'm shocked that Tampa Bay is out. I thought they would go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, I didn't think they would go all the way because it is Tampa in the postseason, but I was shocked that Columbus did what they did. I mean, to be swept 4 games, I don't think anybody saw that coming, even Columbus fans. I mean, to have Tampa Bay go down that quickly. One of the commentators on TSN before the Stanley Cup Finals Stanley Cup playoffs started, he said, man, I don't see any team being able to beat Tampa Bay 4 times in a series. And then here comes Columbus 4 times in a row. I mean, that is crazy. And then for the Islanders to beat Pittsburgh, good on Barry Trotz for what he was able to do there. I mean, he seems to have Pittsburgh's number. And again, I didn't see Pittsburgh going down in 4 games. They're usually a pretty hard team to get out of the postseason, but wow, completely swept. In Calgary, I'm guessing Colorado, they have really good goaltending in Philip Grubauer, and that is what is helping them advance on. But I didn't see Colorado coming out of the first round either. So that is really crazy, and I can't get over that. So a couple game sevens, but we'll see what happens to the Caps later on this week. So, Coach Dan, is that the show?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, man.
All right, well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff, like how they better show the freak up on Wednesday, as well as you can find me talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Skins, if they ever get rid of Dan Snyder, or really just get rid of Bruce Allen. I feel like if you get rid of Bruce Allen, then everything will probably still suck with that team, but at least they won't be as bad. Hopefully. Anyways, talk about other things on Twitter. And hey, if you've enjoyed the show and if you've enjoyed our rambling, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of fun little things related to the Washington Capitals and whatever Brandon finds that he thinks is funny. As he nods and says yes, he'll post it on there. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed our rambling, and they've gone over to Facebook and they're like, I like that page. Where else can they learn about some of your podcasts?
Go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do. It is the draft for the NFL this week, so a new episode of The Call will be coming out. That is my Baltimore Ravens podcast. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan and a Washington Capitals fan, make sure you subscribe to both of those. Like Coach Dan said, we are on Facebook. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Like us, follow us, do all those normal things that people do with the social medias. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So there is one game to talk about. We're not talking about the Islanders. We're not talking about the second round. We are talking about the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There is one team. There is one game. There is one goal. Game 7, Carolina Hurricanes in D.C. In the Capital One Arena. You can watch that on NBC Sports, locally NBC Sports Washington, and Puck Drop, or at least the broadcast time is at 7:30. Have you noticed that there's like 25 minutes worth of extra stuff at the beginning of every game? That's insane. Saturday's game didn't start till 8:30.
Yeah, that was a little nuts. Hey, Brandon, score update. Bruins are up 2-0. Guess who just scored their second goal?
Mojo?
Mojo indeed.
Mojo 90. Look at you. Big, nice, nice pickup there by the Bruins.
My ball. Very true.
All right. Well, that is it for the show this week. Coach Danny, you gonna give a prediction? Game 7? Which team shows
up? Hell no.
Which team shows up? Game 5 Capitals or Game 6 Capitals?
As long as it's not Game 7 Capitals against the Canadiens or Penguins, we're good.
I agree.
So, I want to see Game 7 versus Tampa Capitals.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.